Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And I want to start the show by saying, Patrice, thank you so much for filling in for me on the big show yesterday when I had a schedule conflict and just was not able to be here. You rock.
Or that's the story that you're sticking to. Because
that's the story that I'm sticking to.
The other story might be that we had opposite week last week, and then you were temporarily at least ousted as a host.
That's right. Yeah,
you got banned. I was like a one show ban.
I had a one show ban. I was trying to make it sound positive, but yeah, you know, Ewan, he is a hard taskmaster, and when you screw up something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I actually got off really easy because all I had to do was take my punishment of one show off and staple my hand to the floor. And I know, Chuck's surprised. He's like, only He's staple like, your hand? That's all?
I was gonna staple, just only your hand? I mean, right. There could have been worse things.
Well, it was the first time that I had to have punishment for opposite week.
Got it.
Next time, oh boy, howdy, it's going to be bad. Anyhow, but now today's the Mac show, mm-hmm. and I learned my lesson last week, so we'll talk about Apple related stuff this week. And yeah, so hey, Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's been a very busy week at work. Tons of escalations and issues that popped up, and it's been... I'm exhausted. And then I tried to hunt down a delivery the usual. Oh, you weren't home. We delivered it to some random other place. And unfortunately, the random other place doesn't even exist. So I got an email. I mean, I didn't even get any, like, whatever, something in your postbox or whatever, like, hey, or at the door or whatever. Hey, we tried. Like, no, nothing. I got an email. Like, oh, yeah, it's in, like, basically down the street, like, opposite end of the street, which is, like, I mean, if you walk half an hour away, it's quite far. Mm-hmm. It's a long street. So I went there, and I'm like, there's nothing here. Like, I mean, there's, like, a bunch of this. Like places and shops, but there's no shop for that delivery service. Usually I have a sign that says, oh, you can pick up here, whatever. And I'm like, where the hell did they deliver? So I went back home, and then I checked in the house. I was like, okay, maybe they just entered it wrong. It's like the apartment number instead of the street number. Well, turns out yes, but the person wasn't home. So the name was correct, but they're not at home. I'm like, oh. And I was at home the entire time, of course. Like, when they tried to, supposedly I wasn't at home. Like, I've had a meeting 10 minutes later. I was for sure at home. Like, they just never tried. They're like, eh, whatever, drop it off somewhere. So, I have to find that later, I guess. So, yeah, end of complaint.
That's awesome.
Delivery companies. GLS is the company. I think it's a European company. It's crap. I mean, it takes forever to ship anything, and then they just never even care.
It's funny you said that, Patrice. That's the well. I've had problems with all the delivery companies, mm-hmm. but DOS was the worst.
It's GLS.
They
global.
GOS.
GLS.
Oh, excuse me. No. Okay. Then yeah. Mine was another
yeah.
one.
Yeah, but there's. I mean, they're all terrible. Some are more terrible than others. You're right. Like, it just depends. There is some the Austrian postal servers here, like the old school, you know, like the USPS in the US. Basically, they're actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. But they're kind of also the only ones. So there's that. Yeah, I shipped my iPhone to my mom. Not using GLS. I used the Austrian Postal Service. So,
so yeah. You have a higher likelihood of success.
Yes, yeah. And it's going to DHL in Germany. So we'll see.
Oh, well then, good luck.
Yeah, exactly. It will reach Germany just fine. Just anything after that. You know, like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, every time I get a package that's being shipped international, mm-hmm. and DHL is part of the process, I assume I will never see it.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see.
DHL's the worst.
I mean, technically, DHL is the USPS of Germany, so mm-hmm. in theory, they should be good. in reality, it depends. It like heavily depends on kind of the local people. Like if the delivery drivers are good, they're fine. But if usually they're terrible, so it's not their fault. I mean, they're underpaid and everything. So I don't think they have a union here. So that's maybe part of the problem.
Yeah, could be. We have a community board,
mm-hmm.
or chat room, if you will,
mm-hmm.
for the place that I live,
mm-hmm.
and the majority of the posts
that
go into
same.
I have a notice at DHL or when some other service delivered my package, but I don't have it. Did anyone get it?
Yeah, same thing. We have a WhatsApp group like that. It's like 80% of the posts is like, oh, I have a delivery for, or hey, I got a notice.
Yep.
Does someone
have
it?
That's the other one. Yep.
Yes.
And there's actually a space in the management office, mm-hmm. here where people just bring in the packages, mm-hmm. that were delivered to them that aren't theirs, and they drop them off, uh-huh. and then they post a thing on the board. I put this package here.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's funny. If we try to do that here, then we would never see the delivery because our management is like, I mean, I don't know. They're not responding. They're not very like capable of doing anything really. So it's like incompetent. That's the word I was looking for.
I'm very well aware that I'm incredibly lucky to have a very proactive and responsive management
lucky.
Company that's on site.
Mm-hmm. You are super lucky.
Yep. Yep. Speaking of being awesome and lucky, Chuck, how are you?
I'm great, Jeff. I'm great. It's Friday. I was going to pick on Dave about something, but I'll just leave it alone. I'm great. I'm here with you guys. It doesn't get any better than this, which is kind of sad, but you know.
Well, take it as you can get it.
That's exactly my philosophy.
Yep. At least you aren't in a hurricane path. By the way, Patrice, is that impacting you at all?
Would it impact her?
No.
Anything
about
it. I'm in Colorado, and I get impacted by hurricanes sometimes.
No. I mean, they do happen in Europe, but I mean, we had a big one recently, but I think.
Yeah, Milton.
Yeah.
That was here. Florida.
No.
Wait, what's the one that what's the...
Yeah, there was one.
The one before that was Helene.
Helene is Florida. And
Milton was Florida too.
And Milton was Florida. Then what's the one that?
Oh, you're thinking of Kirk.
Kirk.
I'm thinking of Kirk.
Yeah,
you're thinking of Kirk. Yeah. Yes.
That wasn't the U.S.
Right. That's one that could have potentially impacted Patrice.
Yeah, I mean mostly France, but it does influence the weather all over Europe.
Captain Kirk.
Yeah. Terrible. That's why. Yeah. Yes.
There's so many hurricanes happening that I just can't keep track of them anymore.
Couldn't hold his stomach in any longer.
Oh, if I could do a Mr. Scott accent, I would do a thing about the girdle. She can't take no more, Captain. She's gonna blow.
Jeez, you guys are tough.
Tough, but lovable and cuddly. Dave, how are you?
I am doing great. And what Chuck wanted to tease me about is it is Global Wellbeing Day today, for me anyway, because the entire company has the day off. This is our second one of those days. So why not? I can celebrate it because I get the day off. I don't have to work, and I can enjoy being here and doing whatever the heck I want.
That's so European of you.
It is.
That's
just
true.
Getting a day off.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful day here. Beautiful day here. Good weather. It's supposed to be like 87 Fahrenheit here today, which is a little crazy for the fall. So.
And how do you spend your day off if you're American? You're working. Right?
You look like I'm working. I'm here.
then you're definitely not a good American, I guess.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
I'm going to the basement after this and work out on the punching bag for a while.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, good.
That'll be my global well-being day.
Can I say? Mm-hmm. I didn't make it up. I'm just taking the day off.
Yeah, that's good to have.
Good for you. Chuck, is it true that you printed out a picture of my face and stuck it on your punching bag? I mean, I wouldn't blame you.
No.
That with some underpants.
There's no truth to
oh,
that.
Oh, you put some underpants on it. Okay.
There's no truth
face
to that.
Underpants.
But I am going to go down and I am going to print out a global well-being day and put it up there and then wail.
I've got your global well-being right here.
Okay, right here, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Why I oughta. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, maybe we should do... I don't know.
There's some stuff about Apple.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess.
All right, whatever. We'll talk some Apple stuff. Whatever. By the way, I want to point out that that Dave is so incredibly generous because he lets us borrow from his show notes, his article list from In Touch with iOS. And by the way, that's exactly where this link that I... Oh, come on. Apparently, I can't get a link to drop in. Oh, hold on, everyone. Oh, come on.
Did you break it again, Jeff?
I think Jeff did, yes.
Yeah, it's all on me. Hold on. Okay, I it probably shows that I just joined the chat.
Yes.
Again, right?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So
now
speaking
let's try
of,
dropping
while,
this.
While you try to post the link, I'll tell people about the live chat. How about that? So we have
that
a really
great.
Cool
Please
live
tell
chat.
People
we have a really cool live chat. If you are listening to this live, I don't know how you would not know about the live chat if you're listening to this live, because literally what you do is go to live.britishtechnetwork.com and there's a live chat. But I don't know how the world works. Maybe someone is listening to this, watching this right now live and doesn't know about that page. So live.britishtechnetwork.com, that's where you find the live stream. And on the right-hand side, or if you're on a phone, I think it's underneath it, there's a live chat. That's how easy it is. We record every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for this very show and for the big show that we mentioned earlier. It's Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time, where we talk about non-Apple things, or at least we're supposed to. So like space technology and gaming and Android and chip design and all of that, like fun stuff. And yeah, it's a really cool chat, super easy to use. It generates really funny names like Serene Wing, for example. But if you want to change the name, click on the little purple thing and there's a change name option. Just do that. But if you are listening to this in the recorded form, then there's also an easy way to get to the links that, for example, the one that Jeff just posted. And later on, we'll have more and more cool thing links and so on. And for that, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and select the date, which for today is October 11th, 2024. So,
thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
I don't have to do it later.
No, I don't have to do it later.
as long as we're talking about stuff like this, Patrice, I know I've said it many times. I'm saying it yet again because you deserve credit and praise. Thank you for doing all the work that you did to get us set up with a modern streaming and live chat system. And I know for you, you're like, it was nothing. It was easy. I could just do it. For the rest of us, it's like, holy crap, you're a magic, whatever. You're magic. And you did this thing, and it's great. So thank you for doing that.
Welcome.
So, okay, well now, let's talk a little bit of Apple stuff and let's, Patrice mentioned, I dropped a link into the live chat and it's for a story for Mac Rumors. Headline is longtime Apple executive Dan Riccio retiring later this month. Dan Riccio is a VP of engineering and he's in charge of the Vision Pro project and he's retiring end
recently
of the month.
I mean that's the most recent project. He's done a ton
Yes. Yeah. Well, he's been with the company for over 20 years.
26.
26 years.
Yeah.
Thank
So
you.
joined
And
what is 1998, right after Steve took over.
yeah, so he's been there a long time. And yeah, so he's retiring. He'll be replaced by John Ternus. And yeah, so of Division Pro team, they get a new boss at the end of the month.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. He used to work for unspecified projects. He started doing that in 2021 already. So some secretive projects. We're assuming maybe it was the car project or something, but we don't know exactly. Which was scrapped earlier this year, and I mean, after 26 years, and he's, or I mean, he in this position and this early on, he's probably earned tons and tons of money. I don't think he for years probably had to work. He just really enjoyed doing it, I guess. So yeah, makes sense. But I mean, he has overseen hardware development of the AirPods, of the iPad Pro, of larger screen iPhones. Like, I mean, he was in charge for a long time for basically all hardware design. So, senior VP for hardware engineering. So, like how it gets made and all of that. So, yeah, he's. I mean, you've seen him in countless like keynotes and videos and so on. He's been on stage. He's talked about stuff. Like he's a well-known person. Might not remember his name. Most people probably don't, unless you're like us. But you've seen his face.
Right.
Yeah, and John Ternus, you
Yeah.
probably also know because he's the guy who keeps talking about the chips, like the Apple Silicon stuff. So, right, that was John Ternus usually presenting that.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah,
Yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah. My take on this is basically what I'm doing is echoing what you just said, Patrice. He's been there a long time. He's made enough money. He's ready to wrap it up and do something else, or maybe just go on a permanent vacation.
Yeah, I mean, I think he announced that a couple of days ago at an event locally, or yeah, locally, I think, yeah. I'm assuming, as far as we've understood, he's really retiring from the company. But you know, with Apple, there's always the possibility that he just transitions into a Apple, what was it called? Apple Fellow, I think, role, and just kind of gets a little bit from them here and there. If they need him. Yeah, I mean,
So,
supposedly he leaves the company, but as I said, we'll see about that. This is not an official announcement, by the way. I mean, this was reported by Bloomberg. This is not an official announcement from Apple, from what I've seen.
but there was also something where he had stepped down off of from a, I think if I remember correctly, a senior vice president to a vice president, so it looked like he was in the process of making his retirement moves
Yeah,
for some for a little bit of time here. So
as I
this was
said,
not a real big surprise.
he was senior vice president of hardware engineering for a couple of years, but he also transitioned to an unspecified project in 2021. So I think this has been going on since 2021.
Yeah, so.
Well, Apple is good at managing exit strategies for people when it's not, oh, holy crap, this person needs to be out of our company today. So yeah, they have a graceful process for this, and it looks to me like that's exactly what's happening here.
And also succession. I mean, the succession is planned at Apple usually. I mean, unless it hap even if it happens like short notice, like Steve's death or whatever, their succession plans are in place for higher up people. I mean, not for everybody, of course, but for important enough people that if they leave, that would cause problems. They have succession plans. I think they're I think mandatory for at least C level anyway. So, guess not for him, but still, I bet they had that.
I'm sure they have a process. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, there's a
So,
question.
yeah, all right, here's my question. Is this like a non-story? And by that I mean, is there any controversy here? Is there any thought that he's being forced out?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I mean, the fact that
Same.
he announced it himself in like a, so that's what I think what Bloomberg reported. He himself announced it. That alone kind of tells you that, like, yeah, it's him who wants to leave. You know the usual thing. If someone else says someone is leaving, then it's usually not voluntary.
Yeah. So,
So,
all right.
yeah. No, I mean, as I said, there's not been any official confirmation or any official announcement. I'm pretty sure Apple will put something out at some point. Because he's been with the company so long and he is important, it was important. So I guess, I bet they will do it, but we'll see. Even if it's
Who
a
knows?
story
Yeah.
that they seed with another outlet.
Yeah. Who knows? He could be listening to this right now and be finding it out for the first time.
He's like, wait, I'm leaving? No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
How did they
Sorry,
find
Dan.
out?
Yeah, no. I think, I mean,
Yeah.
he would have probably heard from Bloomberg before us. So I'm pretty sure they've tried to reach out to him.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So that's our first non-story for the day.
I still,
And
I mean, maybe the question is more, do we think it has any impact on the company?
I think if Apple didn't have like you said, succession plans, that this would have a big impact, or potentially have a big impact. But with the way they do their transitions, planned transitions, I think the impact will be minimal.
I mean, it,
I
yeah.
And they're always look, there's always a certain loss of institutional knowledge when anybody
Yes.
leaves.
Yes.
But when you have a situation like this where it appears to, we're speculating, of course, but it appears to have been planned and all, that the transition should be about as smooth as you can possibly make it. Because it's his successor will be appointed and they'll be working together. I mean, that's the way that, as long as it's a controlled situation like this is, and not a health-related situation that takes somebody out rapidly. If the company is as of the quality that Apple is, they will have a whole process and procedure here to do this and make it. The only thing you do lose is the institutional experience, but hopefully the knowledge will transfer.
I mean, that's the whole thing with the Apple Fellows, right? I mean, they stick around. It's not just because, oh, this looks cool, if like the people that are instrumental to the company have been with us for so long, stick around kind of thing, kind of poster child. No, I think that there's also an aspect of, hey, if we have a question, if there is something where we need your input still on, give us that hour. You're still officially kind of somewhere in the company. So give us that hour,
Yeah.
please. Like, and so I think there's that part. As you said, Chuck, anybody who leaves, there's always loss of institutional knowledge, loss of just that person being there and how they make decisions sometimes. It's not even about knowledge. Sometimes it's just how they work and how they make decisions. I think, I mean, on that level, he's not, I mean, with the rare exception of a Steve Jobs, I think, was very involved in like sometimes micromanagement of things. Usually on that level, you have so many people under you who are day to day doing a lot of things that if you were not there, things for a little while at least would continue anyway, just by inertia. The people who are actually doing the work, like the building the hardware and planning it and talking to vendors and whatever, would still do their thing. For a little while at least. And that's how it should
Yeah.
be. I mean, I always tell them, like, I'm a manager myself, and I always tell my managers, like, I'm like the managers I hired. I'm like, you should set up your team in a way that if you go on vacation or you're sick for a couple of weeks or whatever happens, life happens, stuff can continue without you for a little while. Not perfectly, but it does continue.
That's awesome advice.
Yeah, it's just
Yeah.
life. doesn't mean that we replace you, but it's like that's not the point. The point is that like you should also get the chance to take time off, basically.
I did today.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Dave is doing today.
Exactly.
Chuck.
You had to bring it up again, didn't you?
I did. I did, yeah.
Where am I?
For the punching bag.
Just like the Vision Pro for him.
Thanks, Dave. Yes, we're going to start that again, too.
We will.
Hey, speaking of Vision Pro, Vision Pro team, have either of you gotten the survey from Apple about your Vision Pro?
No, not yet. But I bought it in Germany, right. So maybe it's later.
That could be. Yeah. So maybe this is going out to actually, as I look at this article, yes, of course. Okay. So Apple is sending out surveys to people that bought Vision Pro early in the release cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I know 7 months, we're still early in the release cycle, but at the beginning of the release. So so they're getting this survey where they're being asked about, did you buy it yourself or did someone give it to you a gift? Are you still using it? How satisfied are you? What are your favorite features? How often do you use it? All of that kind of stuff. And then going into the, is it comfortable for you? Do you feel it's durable? Is it too heavy, too light? Or, well, how could it be too light? But
well, it could
be. Like the battery life.
Maybe someone says it should be heavier. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? But anyhow, so it's a very comprehensive survey that's going out to the early adopters. And all right, so here's my take. I find it interesting that Apple is sending such a comprehensive survey to all these people. But I don't see this as a negative thing. To me, it feels like Apple is ready for feedback from people that have had this in hand on face for several months.
Yeah, Apple does,
and
this
is not
time.
Going to.
This is not. Yeah. I mean, you get from Apple every time you go to a store, you get a survey. And sometimes for other purchases or whatever. Like, this is not a new thing. What's maybe news or interesting is that it's a little bit more focused, but that makes sense, right? Because
right, yeah. Right,
who buys a Vision Pro early? People like us. People who are early adopters, people who like to experiment, people who like maybe have some business ideas, whatever. Like, it's usually enthusiasts, let's call it this way. Right? So those are exactly the people that will probably respond to something like this. If you asked like for the iPhone now, if you send in something like that out, I think most people wouldn't respond because most people don't care that much about it. They wouldn't want to spend the time. Some people might, but I think most people would just be like, spam. So the people who buy the Vision Pro are exactly the people who will, or some of them at least, that probably large percentage are exactly the people who will respond. They're invested in the Vision Pro. They want it to succeed. They want it to grow. They want it to get better. They will answer this. Right? Yeah. I can't wait to get this, to be honest.
And you know, I mean, look, let's face it. Here we are. Patrice, as you said, you know, you and Dave are Vision Pro owners, but we're all Apple enthusiasts.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you right now, I'm much more inclined to spend just a few minutes or longer answering an Apple survey than I am a survey from, you know, Joe's Pizza down the road.
Google.
I mean, and especially if it's something I care about or like, or you know, am invested in one way or another. But I mean, I don't mind saying it clear, the service to get you through the airport faster.
Yeah,
I mean, it doesn't matter what you do; they send you a survey. Yeah. You know, if you look at their sign, you'll get a survey on what did you think of our sign. I mean, come on, you know, at some point, you know, it's I get it, but I don't need a survey on the way out and on the way back. you know, if you want to hit me up once a quarter or something, fine. Mm-hmm. But after a while, it's just survey fatigue, and it's like delete, delete, delete. Mm-hmm. But with Apple, to be fair about it, I guess I have enough don't have a crazy amount of transactions with Apple, but because I'm invested in it, in a variety of ways, yeah, I'm happy to do it. So there is that, I think, that will affect the responsiveness to this. The questions, I think, are very interesting, as even as a non-owner.
I'm actually curious, Patrice, Dave, if there's any questions that stand out for you, where you want to offer up your take, because both of you have been using Vision Pro for a few weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, that makes you experienced experts.
Yeah, there's kind of, I think, two that stick out to me, but maybe Dave wants to answer first. I talk so much anyway. That's true.
Based on the bullet points, I'd say comfort while wearing it is comfortable. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does take a little getting used to, and you're spinning the dial to get adjusted.
Yeah.
But sometimes you want to make it tight and get a good fit, and it feels good. And the other challenge is making sure you move it up, because you get the warning all the time. You got to move that slightly up to see that you get the proper angle,
mm-hmm.
especially when you're using the biometric IDs with your eyes. Because if you don't have it in the right place, it isn't going to read your eyes. So, that's probably one of the things that stands out. I mean, the screen resolution is insane. I mean, anybody cannot say that. I mean, I think it's
insane,
got some,
and still not good.
Some
enough.
Good. Still, it still has some improvements. I can say that you definitely have some more improvements. But
yeah.
I watched a bunch of the immersive videos already, and I won't steal your thunder.
Yeah.
It is pretty incredible when you watch that new content. And that's new content still, so there really isn't a lot of content out there just yet. But Apple's already been releasing a lot of different things. Yeah. So I'd say ease of use. I had a bit of a challenge at first, because I couldn't get to the control center trying to figure out, now it's automatic.
Stick and ager, right.
You move your eyes. You don't move your head. Look at it. Oh, there it is. Pinch, and then you're there. And so now I've really got down pat. But it took a little bit of me getting used to of it, and turning it on. You know, when you put it on, at times it does take a little bit to boot up or come up.
Yeah.
It's in sleep mode usually. So there are some easy use challenges, I think it's overall it's been okay. Responsiveness for eyes and hands, it's insane. I mean, I still can't get used to it. When I put in my passcode, I just look at the number and pinch.
Now. Like, I mean, the first time it took me forever, and I mistyped or whatever, and had to go back, whatever. And now it's like tick, 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 tick.
Yeah. So, that's pretty much been my impressions of it. So far, I mean,
The content thing is really interesting. What you mentioned, there is. I had a discussion yesterday, I think, with some people from on InSpace, like internationally, about the day before, actually. There's this trailer that Apple has, Experience Immersive, that they've been using in the demos in store, and that you also can download. And they re-released it for some reason the other day. If you had downloaded it, it stopped working. It's really weird. It's like, it said, you have to renew it. You couldn't renew it. It just said it's not available anymore. And turns out you just have to download it again, because they re-released it. And it's higher quality from what we've been able to tell. It's definitely a gigabyte bigger. So I guess it's higher quality. But there is content in that. It's like 3.5 minutes, and it's about 3 gigabytes now, 2.8, I think. So it's quite big, which makes sense because it's a lot of pixels. There's some content in some parts in that. It's kind of a trailer, clip show trailer, whatever you want to call it. It's like little snippets of different content that you can experience immersive. There's stuff in there that they haven't released yet. That must still be coming.
Right.
So that's really interesting. And there's stuff not in there, like what we'll talk about in the cool thing. So it's really, really interesting, the content thing. And there's... You see that Apple is trying. There was someone in the InSpace room yesterday. He's a video producer, and he's doing kind of 180, 360 videos and whatever. He's a professional. And he talked a little bit about the what he sees in the videos and what Apple is trying and the challenges and the hardware and all of that. He wants the camera Apple is using. He's like, I want that. It's not available. Some custom thing that Apple is working with someone on. It's really interesting, but it's you see them experimenting, and some stuff works and some stuff doesn't. And that's super interesting. I mean, this is a kind of a new space, a new way of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And that is super interesting. And that's just one. For me, two questions stick out. One is which band are you using? Which headband do you use most often with your Vision Pro? Because that's been a almost constant discussions. There's a growing market of third parties even that offer either their own bands or adjustment things for the ones from Apple. I think Vitici even talked about that, where you can buy a second one and attach it to the first one with some third party stuff. Like, it's really interesting. It's like some people prefer one, some prefer the other. I think that is an area where Apple changed. Originally they had the woven one, the white one with the adjustment thing on the side, what they showed originally in the keynote and whatever, and also in all the promo shots. But then when they mm-hmm. did the demos in store, I think in the US they first started with that, but then when they did it in US in Europe, and I think even they switched in the US, they switched to the other one. The one with the strap over the head for some reason. So I think even Apple is not 100% sure which one is better. And maybe there is no better. It's just one works for one person and one works for the other person. And maybe they need even more because head shapes are just different. Sizes, shapes, hair, not mm-hmm. hair. Like, I don't think there is a one-size-fits-all solution for this. So super interesting. And the other one is, how long do you typically wear your Apple Vision Pro before you decide to take it off? And I think that question goes, how comfortable is it? I mean, maybe a little bit also, when do you run out of time or things to do? But I think it's a lot. I think it goes more in like how long until you think it's uncomfortable. And I've worn it a full working day and didn't have any problems. I've worn it a flight, like 3 hours, had no problems. So it's weird when you take it off, you kind of return into reality and you're like, oh, this is weird. It's like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. It feels like that. It's like, it's kind of like, I don't know. I have a similar feeling when you step out of a movie theater, you're like in this environment, it's dark, there's like the movie screen, whatever. And then you step out of that, like after watching a movie for like 3 hours, you step out into the real world again. I kind of maybe like that a little bit. So, but I think that is because people have said, oh, can you wear it this long? Is it going to press on your face and like gets tired, your eyes get tired or whatever. Like all of, you know, people are speculating about that. And I think if you have the right band and the right fit and the right light shield and like all of the right things properly figured out, I think you can wear it quite long. At least that's also what I've heard from other people. I know people in InSpace that wear it literally all day. So, wow. Yeah, there's people. I mean,
I can manage for more than about 2 hours.
Yeah, I do. I do 2, 3, 4 hours sometimes. Not a problem. Usually I don't. I run. It's more that I at some point have to go to bed. So I don't wear it for work. So that's maybe why.
You're not going to sleep with it?
No, that I don't. No, I have to take my contact out as well. So yeah, but I've used it for work like once or twice and it was fine. Nice. I just didn't see why I would want to do that. But if I feel like it, I would do it in a heartbeat, not even thinking about it.
Well, I wanted to use it for work, but Teams won't work when you need a Microsoft Authenticator.
Yeah, actually, it does work. You just need your phone. So you have to move the Vision Pro app, do the Authenticator, and then you can move it. I have Teams on my Vision Pro. It works fine. The only thing that doesn't work is Outlook, because Microsoft doesn't support the Vision Pro in Outlook yet. But Apple Mail works, so that's okay.
Guess I'll have to try that.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally, I mean, that's a trick, like, because Authenticator, there's just a couple of apps that simply don't, that is an annoying part. There's some apps that don't exist yet. Yeah. Authenticator is one. So you have to kind of get your phone, move the Vision Pro app, like, on your forehead, do the Face ID, whatever you have to do, authentication, that, and then go back. So that is annoying.
try that. I didn't try it.
I do that all the time.
All right. So then that, I think, answers one of the questions that I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What one thing, if anything, would you add or change about Apple Vision Pro? And it sounds what you would add are the business and productivity apps, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
that allow you to be able to have a complete experience on Vision Pro, as opposed mm-hmm. to what you're doing, Patrice, where mm-hmm. you have to take the thing off your face, look at your iPhone, put it back on your face.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a bunch that are still missing. WhatsApp included, for example. There's no YouTube. That annoys me something. Yeah, it's a whole mm-hmm. other story. Yeah, that annoys me a little bit sometimes, where I'm like, and it's not Apple, for the most part, not Apple's fault. Mm-hmm. you know, Google's anyway slow with everything. So it's like when it comes to iOS, I mean, how long did it take them to do dark mode, for example, or any new feature from iOS? How long does it take them to even implement that? Years. So, and for sure, it's not the biggest platform right now. So it's not the highest priority.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I thought was interesting about this article, because it doesn't list out these questions, but it says that it also talks about things outside the Apple ecosystem,
mm-hmm.
Third-party headbands to the comments, but also including the AR, VR products such as the MetaQuest headsets.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, that is very interesting. Because that's not something I don't believe that Apple typically does. You know, they don't talk about third-party products. But here they're asking, I guess, so they can take some lessons about how people value it.
No, I'm not sure. I mean, they don't talk about third-party products in that sense of, like, for example, the MetaQuest or, like, a Dell or something like that. But they do talk about third-party products that they sell in the stores. So they have even shown them off sometimes. Like, where it's like, hey, when here we have the Belkin whatever that we worked with them together, or we have the LG UltraFine display that we worked with them together. Like, stuff like that. They will mention sometimes third parties. But you're right, it's not usual.
Not competing products.
They're definitely not competing products. Yeah, you're right. That's unusual. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it makes sense in this kind of context, because I think, I mean, the MetaQuest is the biggest, probably right now the biggest competitor, at least from mindshare perspective. I don't know mm-hmm. hardware-wise, but mindshare perspective, I think, because most people, if I talk to, they have a MetaQuest. That's what they talk about. Yeah, Meta is just an entire event talking about it and trying to position it against Apple with, like, some vaporware that they will ship in 10 years. So
it's clever, though.
Yeah, it is clever. And I think it's also clever on Apple to say, I mean, sure, like, if someone has it, or, like, there is people out there that have both. Like, they have the MetaQuest because it's not super expensive, and they have the Vision Pro, and they can compare, and people have done it. Why not listen? Why not hear their arguments? Like, why? They are probably the best people who can compare, because they have used, supposedly, and liked the MetaQuest enough that they still like it and talk about it. And they bought a Vision Pro, so they're clearly also into that. So, I mean, they can probably pretty well compare, like, what is good about one or the other. Or maybe what doesn't matter. Like, maybe they're like, okay, now that I have the Vision Pro, the MetaQuest is crap, or other way around. Like, I bought the Vision Pro, but I'm not using it because I like the MetaQuest for reason XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. So why not ask them?
That's a really good point. I hadn't thought about it from that perspective. As you were saying that, I realized, oh yeah, I'm kind of doing that comparison myself,
mm-hmm.
although not nearly on this scale, because I have an iPad mini,
mm-hmm.
but then I also have a Kindle Fire tablet, mm-hmm. that, like, basically the same size.
Yeah.
And I try things on both and compare the experience
mm-hmm.
on both. It's just like
And
it's,
Apple,
yeah, it's a thing that I do.
And if Apple were to ask you about it, you probably, if you have time and you're interested, you would share that and say, like, oh, this is why I like one or the other, or this is what I appreciate about each product, and this is how I use them maybe differently and all of that. I mean, you know, Apple has all of that internally. They have MetaQuests, 100%. They have probably also Kindles, 100%. Or they have even, I mean, even employees. I mean, this is a freaking big company. There's probably people that have, that own, that work with for Apple and have the MetaQuest. But it's always different because it's your company. So, like, it's harder to do that because you're within that mm-hmm. sphere and that company. And it's harder to then say, well, I don't like the Vision Pro for whatever reason. People so like us don't if, have that if, problem.
Yeah. All right. So let's say Google mm-hmm. decided they wanted to send out a survey like this about mm-hmm. the new Pixel, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see value in them doing that. At the same time, I could see them sending you out a survey, but mm-hmm. they've already filled it out for you because they know so much about you.
That's for Google, yes. Yeah. I mean, because,
yeah.
Yeah. At some point, I also think Google for the Pixel or even Apple for the iPhone probably doesn't need to do it anymore because those are products that have been out for so long. I don't think it matters. But this is a brand new product. This is the phase where you're learning from the mm-hmm. real world, from real people, how they use it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Give it 5 years, I don't think they would do this because... I mean, they will still send out surveys, but not about this kind of questions. It's more like the typical, how happy are you with your Vision Pro? Net Promoter Score.
Right? Mm-hmm. Hey, speaking of happy, one of the many things in life that makes me happy is TSO Host. And what makes me so happy about them is that they... are taking what they do, which is web hosting, helping you buy domain names, all that kind of stuff. And they're saying, hey, British Tech Network, we want to do something for the community, so we're going to give you the resources you need to be able to do what you do. And so that means they're giving us the web hosting space, so there's a place for the website to live. They're giving us the server space, so there's a place for all the show files to live, so you can watch or listen to recordings anytime you want. And for those of you that enjoy hanging out with us live, well, they're giving us the bandwidth to live stream multiple shows every single week. And the resources to do this, well, it takes a lot. So without their generous help, we wouldn't be able to do what we are doing. And so for that, hey, thank you, TSO hosts. I'm telling them thank you. It would be great if you did too. All you need to do is hop out on social media and let TSO hosts know that you appreciate that they're here for the British Tech Network. Just give them a shout out, a thanks. And that's all it takes. But, you know, they do offer good pricing. So if by chance you're thinking, oh, I found this... this great domain name, maybe it's like Chuck's Fake Jeff punchingbag.com. and so it's this whole website where it's interactive and you use your mouse pointer if you're on your computer to click on the punching bag and then it has recordings of my voice going oof, ow, good one, ah, that hurts, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I see this is a thing. It could work. Anyhow, the real point is you found a domain name and so you're going to buy it. TSO Host makes it easy to do. When you get to checkout, add the discount code BTN20 and you're going to get 20% off that order. So thank you, TSO Host, for being generous like that. And now, Patrice, you have already told us all about the live chat.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for preemptively doing that. And now we can just jump right in to cool things. So who has the first cool thing? No cool things.
I wasn't ready for this.
Chuck is ready.
I'll throw mine in real quick. And then I do have a troubleshooting story I want to share as well, but that has nothing to do with the cool thing. But this cool thing is a pair of Anker USB to USB-C 100-watt charging fast cables. That sounds like something that you probably already have, but in the first place, I'm increasingly trying to figure out a way to designate which cables are what, because fast charging cables, I don't have them. When I need the speed of transfer, I don't have that. So I looked at these, and these were on sale on Amazon Prime Day for just a couple bucks less, but I picked them up and I'm super happy with them because first of all, they're red. Okay. And so I'm slowly but surely segregating my unmarked cables to somewhere else. This way I know exactly what these are. These are the fast charging reds. I have some Ankers that are the fast transfer speeds, but they don't charge real fast. And so, you know, take that as it and do with it what you will, but there are few things worse than plugging in a device overnight and finding out that it didn't fully charge when you really needed it to fully charge.
Mm-hmm.
So I got these, I guess it was yesterday, and gave it a test overnight, and it works fine because I set my Mac up to do something very specific that was going to be a power drain, and I plugged this in. And I had that happen. The impetus for all this was I had that exact experience last week. Woke up to an almost dead MacBook. And so it's like, yeah, I've just got to find a solution to this. And Amazon Prime Day gave me the option. So these Ankers, you know, it's Anker, so it's a great name. The cables are tough. They're braided so that they're going to take a lot of abuse. I love these. So I would tell you to go and if you have that need. Now, and again, to be fair, just to be real clear, these are USB 2 speeds for transfer. So you're not going to move a lot of stuff across them very fast, but you're going to get a good fast charge.
And they're durable.
And they're durable. Yeah.
Yeah. I have several braided Anker cables, and they just really hold up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
You want the troubleshooting story an hour later?
Troubleshoot us, Chuck.
Okay. So I have a MacBook Pro that has not seen the light of day for quite some time. And I plugged it in this morning and expecting to do something with it in a specific app that is on that MacBook Pro. I've sort of designated that MacBook Pro for that particular app because it's a video utility that just has to take several hours to grind. But I haven't had that need for a while. So plugged it in and immediately, you know, wanted just to connect it, pulled the file over from one of my other Macs. So all I wanted to do is just log into my other Mac and it would not log in to save its life. It everything looked fine, but it would not log in. It could see the other Mac, but it would not log in no matter how carefully I checked the credentials. And it just made no sense. I tried logging into it from a different Mac, no dice. So for some reason that had nothing to do with anything, I decided I'm going to fire up the browser and make sure that the connection is live, even though it's on the network and I can see it. And that's where I found out that the clock had to be reset.
Huh.
That it would not do anything on the network until, for some reason, it would not pick up the automatic time setting. Even though I went ahead and signed into my Apple ID, it wouldn't do it automatically. I had to go in and manually set the date and time and then wait about 30 seconds. And then all of a sudden, magically, everything worked.
Huh.
So if
he's all the time.
Yeah, well, you know, so this was new experience for me, and I wanted to share it this morning because it's so fresh in my mind that, you know, if you have a machine that's been sitting for so long, you know, check the date and time because that will maybe bring it back even though it appears to be online or appears to be accessing Wi-Fi. So there you go.
That one's new to me also. But
it was, I feel better, Jeff, because it was new to me. I thought, should I have known this? But
I don't see as much on Macs. I see it more on PCs that it happens. So the system just, when the battery's all the way down drained, it just loses its memory of what the date and time was. And it just reverts back to when, you know, when it was originally manufactured. So you power it up, says, in the case of the PC, it would boot up and it'd say, oh, okay, you know, the time and data is incorrect and you got to go back and fix it. And so I end up having to manually changing it back to what the current date is. Because if the machine boots up, like what you'd experienced on the Mac, the same thing happens on Macs too, but it's a little different in the way it works.
Yeah, Dave, what was really interesting is, as best I could tell, it only went, the date it kept showing and refused to move off of was probably the last time I used it. So it wasn't the whole way back to a manufacture date or anything, but it still was the way it is. So there's your troubleshooting tip for the morning. Check your date and time.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. Dave, wait, am I right? Dave,
yeah,
you're
Dave
up next.
Is next.
Yes.
Yes.
Dave.
Well, since Patrice took the one I was thinking of doing, I got this one instead here. I'm actually talking on the mic, cool thing. It's the Shure MV7 Plus podcasting microphone. It's a pretty amazing mic, much more lighter weight, I've noticed, than the pod mic I had been using for many years. It has both USB-C and XLR. That was the big change they made from the MV7. The MV7 had the, you know, USB-B, wherever it is, the really crappy plug that never goes in right and breaks. So now it's got USB-C, which is awesome. So now I at least have the option to do both. It's got a touch panel here on the top here. If you were using it in USB mode, where it's got lights, LED panels, you can touch to mute right from at the mic here. That's what I'm showing here right on the top of the mic here, as well as got some great DSP tech, which has eliminating ambient noise. Come with some great software. The Moti V. Mixing desktop app. I started playing with that a little bit. That only works with USB mode. You can't use it with XLR mode, but it does have some other cool things that incorporate with all of your audio devices, with whether it's the Rodecaster Pro or even it was working with the Insta360 software for my webcam. But it's not too terribly expensive, $279 for a microphone of this caliber, and it's I felt to be really good quality and Chuck's the one that caused me to buy it, so.
You're welcome.
Well done, Chuck.
Yes, you're welcome.
I did throw
take that for global wellness today.
I did throw a bonus pick here. This is our good friend Doc Rock. He's got the new Doc Pops for the pop filters. He's got the specialty ones for all kinds of different mics. So, I pre-ordered the one for this mic. I can't wait to get it. It's going to be that blue color. I put that in
nice.
The show notes too. Yeah. So he's got some really cool stuff. I know Doc's been advertising that pretty regularly. That hasn't shipped. I just got shipping notice. It's going to ship in November. So it's coming.
That's awesome. And Doc gets a shout out.
He does.
So that's cool. Cool. And you sound good on that mic.
Yeah. I'm learning how to address it. As people see me on camera, you got to be pretty much straight on it. Unless you have some, I think Chuck, you got some more enhancements. I mean, even the Rodecaster, I think, I don't know if this thing blew out. Mike, I had the Cloud Lifter on this line before and it stopped working as soon as I plugged this mic in. So I haven't had time to check it, but so this is no Cloud Lifter at all. It's going right through the Rodecaster. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
All right. So Patrice, your turn. And I'm glad that I knew ahead of time that this is going to be your pick. Otherwise, it would have been a story today.
Okay, good. Yeah, my cool. I mean, we could have done the story as well. So my cool thing is a new movie on Apple TV Plus. But here's the thing: I'm not Biden. Just saying. Here's the thing. If you have watched SNL, you know what I'm referring to. It's an immersive video. So an immersive movie. It's the first scripted Apple immersive movie ever. It's about 17-ish minutes long. I think they're actually a couple minutes less.
17 minutes.
Yeah, because there's like, you know, the credits at the end. But it's really cool. It's fully immersive. So it's called Submerged. You're in a submarine and stuff happens. I don't want to spoil it because it's pretty cool. It's pretty intense at some point. If you're claustrophobic, probably not a good movie for you. Or if you get easily motion sickness, I have a feeling that might be a problem, but give it a try. It's really interesting. It's that submarine, Second World War, fully immersive, shot in, as I said, immersive. I don't want to spoil it. It's just an interesting story, really interesting to watch. Some things I think work, some things don't. There's a making of and a trailer for it, which is on YouTube or on Apple TV. So that's for everybody to watch. They're not immersive, so you can watch them like normal. Without a Vision Pro, go have a look. It's really interesting. I really enjoyed it. It was very different. Very, very different. But I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm fresh off of watching it last night. Okay. Since I remembered after we talked about it on Untouched iOS, I had to go and watch it. And holy cow. There are a few moments where I went, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking up like, oh, wow. I mean, you do look around and yes. It just,
yeah, you
it's
see,
just insane.
You see like water drops on like bulkheads and stuff like that. So
it's crazy.
There is
closeness of the people too. I mean, everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to spoil it.
Probably didn't work very well, I think, was like how close you were to people. Something like you had like a face big in front of you. It was really big. Yeah, it's like. Yeah. You can tell they're trying things and something worked and some didn't, which is fine and which is okay. Yeah. This was, I think it's a German or at least a European. It's definitely a European team who did this, quite a big team. But I think that the director was or the producer was were German or something like that, if I remember correctly.
Amazing.
It's really cool. Like it's just for that alone worth watching. You get it with Apple TV Plus, so. Yeah, worth every minute, I would say. What was really interesting was something I didn't think about. They had to reinvent how they do lighting. Because, you know, in a typical movie, like you have a movie set, there's a couple, a camera or multiple cameras, and you have lights set up somewhere out of view for them. Like above them, behind them, whatever you need, like sometimes. Sometimes they're included in a set, but very often they have at least extra lighting somewhere around. Can't do that. Because in immersive, where do you put the lights? Like it's like 180. Like you can look up, you can look down, left, right. Like so basically here, like what your normal field of vision would be, you can't put any lights and just putting them behind you, you know what's going to happen. It's going to like cast really weird shadows if the lights have to be behind you, basically. It's like if you're standing with the back of the sun behind you, basically. Yeah. Well, how is that going to look? Pretty bad. So they had to figure out how to integrate lighting into the sets, which on a submarine is an interesting challenge.
Yeah.
But they did it really well. It works. It's dark, I'm not going to lie, but I think that is actually a deliberate choice because it's a submarine, Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really cool. Like,
they were very amazing. Again, I don't want to spoil it, but just the way they incorporated lighting within the set.
Yeah.
Using the lighting that was part of the submarine, actually.
Yeah, and also your perspectives. I mean, you're like, you are part of the scene. You can look around, and people will. And like, you know, in traditional movies, like if we're sitting like in a traditional movie, we're sitting together like this right now. Then I mean, that's a decision, like the framing and like who's like what the camera shows and not shows and like what perspective and whatever. If you're doing this in immersive, I, to some extent, decide what I'm going to look at. Am I going to look at Jeff? Am I going to look at Chuck? Am I going to look at Dave? I'm basically with them in the room as a viewer.
You are.
And I can decide, do I look at the person who's speaking or do I look at another person? Do I look in the room at something? I am deciding that. It's not the decision of the movie makers. They tried to force that a little bit, and I don't think that's the part that worked very well. That was like one scene where the perspective is really high up and you're looking down. And I think that limited too much what you could do as a viewer. It's coming from, you see, like, this is, I think, the first time those people have been doing this, and you see that they're coming from a, and the guy on InSpace, who is a professional, he said that, like, you see that they are experimenting, that they're coming from a 2D kind of world, or even a traditional 3D world, maybe,
right,
but more a 2D world and 2D framing, and they're trying to figure out how to do that in immersive. And some choices that they made came from that mindset and then perspective. And they probably experimented a ton anyway, filming this. I don't think it was cheap because they probably had to try a couple million things to see what works and what doesn't. But yeah, that, so really cool. Summary, really, really cool. Go watch it.
Awesome.
If you can. If you have a friend who has a Vision Pro, you can try it. Go watch it. 17 minutes. You can do that.
I wonder if you could convince the Apple Store to let you do a Vision Pro demo to watch this.
Why not? If they have it available and there's a slot that there's nobody after, I don't see why not.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, the right time of day. Probably not prime, but if you went in super early or super late.
I mean, these days, I'm not sure how many demos they're actually doing every day, because I think most people who want fun have probably done one. Yeah, so I think you might be lucky.
Last time I was at the Apple Store, it was easy.
Yeah, you might be quite lucky and you get that.
Cool. All right, well, I feel like my pick isn't going to be nearly as exciting at all, because I'm picking an iPhone and iPad app, and it's called iNet Tools.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a handy tool that I've used when I need to sort out network problems when I'm not using my Mac, or when I want to sort out network problems where I'm specifically eliminating my Mac from the mix. And because if I'm at my Mac, I'm probably just using the terminal to do a lot of this stuff. But it lets you do pings and DNS lookup, traceroute, port scans, monitor servers, do a full LAN scan, and I think there's a couple other things it does. But it's easy to use. It's and it's handy to have on your iPhone or your iPad, and you can use it for free. There's like a $5 in-app purchase that I don't even remember what it's for.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just a simple little tool that gives you a nice graphic interface on what would otherwise just be some easy command line tools. And it just works. So it's nice. And if you have servers that you like to monitor regularly, you can set up your list of servers that you do that to, and it keeps track of the things that you do regularly or most recently, so you don't have to like go through the whole process to trigger a specific action if it's something that it's just what you do all the time. It's just right there. So simple, easy to use. You can use it for free, and supports iPhone and iPad. And if you want the extra whatever it is that I can't even remember, $5. So there you go. iNet That's Tools.
Nice. That's really cool.
Yeah, that is.
So, but not nearly as sexy as essentially being on a holodeck while you're in a World War II submarine. But
I don't know, Jeff, when things weren't working for me this morning, anything, forget sexy. I need to get it fixed. So this looks like a really nice little tool.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's been super handy for me. So, all right. Well, it's now time to wrap up. So, thank you to all three of you for just being so awesome and as always, making my Friday morning just a lot of fun. It is worth it to get up early to hang out with you. And that's saying a lot, believe me. So anyhow, thank you to the three of you. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me every week here on the big show, the Mac Show, on British Tech Network. So Thursdays and Fridays. You can find out everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com, where I have all the podcasts, the projects, the social media links, literally everything. And Jeff and I have a really cool podcast called Retro Rewatch, and I'm showing the mug for the people viewing this. If not, retrorewatch.com, where we review, well, currently Stargate SG-1. We're going through season one. We just posted episode 12 of our podcast, episode 13 of Stargate SG-1, Fire and Water. Should be in your podcast players shortly. And yeah, it's been a really, like, tons of fun to do this with Jeff. So yeah, go listen to that. Some people seem to,
Always.
we've gotten some really cool feedback from the show. So people actually seem to enjoy it. So thank you.
Always fun to
It
do
is a
stuff with
really
Jeff.
fun show to do.
Yeah, that's true. It's always fun to do stuff with Jeff, especially on
It's
your
always
mental health day, right?
right? And it's always fun to do stuff with Patrice
Well-being.
on a
Well-being day, okay.
global wellness day.
Something like that, yeah.
Speaking of Chuck, where can people find you?
You can find me at macvoices.com, where it is not Global Wellbeing Day. We have lots of really interesting interviews. I've got a pile of stuff already queued up and ready for you. So get prepared because we're gonna give you a lot of great information coming up. We do a live show Tuesday nights on YouTube at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. We'd love to have you join us in the chat room. And on all the socials, pretty much all the big ones and even some of the little ones, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner. I'm off to my
Awesome.
ba punching bag.
Pardon my face.
Hopefully not, but anyhow, Dave, where can people find you?
When I'm not taking a day off, I'm here. I'm on In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. YouTube channel is youtube.com/intouchwithios, and we'll have a new show out here shortly as we record. You can find me on Mastodon at DaveG65 at mastodon.cloud. I'm on Mac Voices Live every Tuesday night, as Chuck mentioned, as well as here on Fridays, usually. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Then for me, Jay Gamut on the various social medias, active right now on Mastodon and Instagram. And yes, I know I'm behind right now on my Inktober drawings. It's been some days it's hard to fit that in, but don't worry. I'll get caught up, and so you'll get like a 3-day dump of drawings on you very
Don't
soon.
worry. We're not worried.
And yeah, so it's fun. Let's all be Inktober buddies. Anyhow, so then for shows, Chuck, for whatever reason, continues to let me join in on Mac Voices Live. So thank you, Chuck. And Dave, again, for whatever reason, continues to let me be part of In Touch with iOS. So Dave, thank you for that. And then here we are on the British Tech Network, the big show on Thursdays, Mac show on Fridays. And then Patrice, she already mentioned Retro Rewatch, which I am so happy that we are doing. By the way, this week's show, if you want to hear me have some opinions, go check it
Two
out.
opinions?
Actually, Patrice, we both have opinions
Oh, we do.
during this episode.
More of a
Yep.
hypothesis, I'm sure.
And then also, Brian Chaffin and I, we do the context machine. So, with that said, hey, Everyone that's joining us live, thank you for being here. Everyone that's participating in the live chat, thank you for interacting with us. And all of you that watch or listen to the shows later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. And hey, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And TSO hosts, thank you for being here to support us. And okay, so with that, hey, everyone, don't forget to join us next Thursday for the big show. Come back again on Friday for the Mac show. And all of you, have an awesome weekend.